that bar mitzvah playlist today. I'm feeling.
My son actually likes this song, man.
Of course. Coldplay, baby. You a Coldplay fan?
Yeah, I like Coldplay. And also, it's on Sing. Have you ever seen the movie Sing?
I have not actually seen Sing, but I'm not opposed to watching. No, is Sing good?
Yeah, Sing is good. Actually, Sing 2 is where this one's at, and he loves the song.
You probably, I mean, how old is your son?
Three. He's got to be 4 in May.
I feel bad for kids today because the kids' movies today, they aren't like what they were when we were growing up.
They're
different. We had life lessons. It's like, bam, Bambi's mom is dead. Deal with it. Right out of the shoe.
We haven't let him watch Bambi yet because he sees Bambi's mom die.
That's a life lesson.
What do you know about watching kids' movies? How many kids' movies are you watching as a single man with no kids?
I do my own research. Don't worry. I've seen Inside Out. Inside Out.
With some cereal, watching a little Roger Rabbit or
Absolutely.
Something like that.
Watching some cartoons.
He's busy on his apps on his phone doing other things.
No, I don't watch that. I don't watch a ton, but if there's a good one that comes out, I'll absolutely check it out. Absolutely. I got no shame in my game. I'll absolutely check it out. Like, I thought Inside Out was fantastic, and I just saw the trailer for the second one. So I'm looking forward to that
Come on, you were like a Frozen what? Fan?
No, I'm not. Not
Frozen was awesome.
Yeah, I'm not going to hate
Matt,
on you.
Go get Disney
wasn't
Plus.
My cup of tea. I have Disney Plus. I am the sucker with every streaming service and cable. I got to be paying like $500 a month for all of this stuff combined. They have. Yeah. I'm crying about it, KJ, because it's ridiculous. They have completely just fooled and hoodwinked all of us into paying twice as much as we did before for the same stuff. I know, Drew, you cut the cord, didn't you?
I did. Oh, yeah, I cut it 5-6 years ago.
Oh, well, good.
But like you, I'm also like, I mean, I'm paying $150 for DirecTV Stream and ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix, MLB package. You know,
yeah,
I'm paying $200.
I've got Disney Plus. Bro. Yeah, thank you.
Drew's telling us about his life stories of everything that he's paying for.
It's okay. Somebody says, Phil, you got to let your kids watch Bluey. It's probably the best children's program that's been released in 2 decades.
I have. Bluey actually is a really, really good show. My son loves that one as well.
Okay, good. All right. Well, that's your kids' movies update for today. Did you watch the Oscars?
I did not, man.
You did not? Not
no,
an Oscars guy?
No.
Did you guys watch the Oscars?
Not a second.
Good. KJ? KJ watched the Oscars.
No, I didn't.
Bit.
That's a step Wonderful. Right below reality TV. So.
God, you guys just, I mean, okay. Didn't even appreciate Ryan Gosling belting out I'm Just Ken. Couldn't even appreciate the fine arts. It's all right. We'll get some more cultured people in here the next time around. Phil.
Fire the cannons.
We've got a ton of reaction to JJ McCarthy, and I just want to read this one. We asked the text line earlier. Hey, look, if the Broncos' best option, or at least option to go get J.J. McCarthy, is to move up to, let's just say, 6, and you're going to give up 12, but we went back in history and said, okay, what is the approximate asking price that a team would be looking for maybe a move up into the top 10, like 6 spots from 12? Well, the answer was a first-round pick from the same draft class, which the Broncos have 12. Then it was a third-round pick from that draft class, and then the next year's first. So 2 firsts and a third. This one's just all caps. Hell no!
So they're not willing to give up no cap space.
Oh, you got tally? You got the tally?
They're not willing to give the draft capital.
What's the tally? Because we asked, and then I asked these guys to tally it up. So what was the final tally there?
Out of the 31, before you guys switch conversations there at 3:35.
Was that
13?
No. A shot?
Not at all.
Sounds like a shot.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you taking a shot?
Not at all.
Okay.
13 said no. 8 said yes.
Well, there have been a ton more since then, too. So I'm with you. 13 said no. 8 said yes.
Yeah, I'd probably not do it.
You said no. I said no. What did you say?
No.
Drew?
Listen, I'm a J.J. McCarthy guy. I wouldn't even do that.
No.
There's no way.
There's no way, right? There's just no way. I struggle to see it happening. Now, what do you do if that's not the case? And then we've been talking about moving down and doing all that. But we also had asked the text line about their confidence level in Sean Payton. And there's a ton of people that are still extremely confident. And I love that because it shows me that Broncos country understands what's happening. And I think this texter put it perfectly. Finally, we have an ownership group that's willing to be honest and upfront with us, which I don't know if Okay. I don't really want to get into the minutiae of all that, but I think what this texter's trying to say is the organization is sending out a clear message that they're doing something that needed to be addressed a long time ago. And while it may not be fun, it may not be exciting, hang in there, because on the other side, we've got a completely clean slate here.
Yeah, I mean, for the owner group, in the ownership group, they're putting a lot of money out there, you know. But this is a Sean Payton show. And it's going to, you know, ultimately come down to what Sean Payton is going to do and what he's willing to do. And obviously he's shown us that he's willing to gut the place out now, because not because he wants to, because he has to, okay, find that quarterback that fits his system and then roll with it.
Well, I'd also mentioned that I hadn't seen medicals on Michael Penix. I did some research. I looked it up. It's something I missed, so that's on me. Michael Penix's medicals came back really, really good. Yeah. So that's great news.
You should trust me, Matt. I said, with flying colors, baby.
With flying colors.
With flying colors.
You did.
He was high on everybody's draft boards, and all of a sudden, because of some medicals, now he dropped to the second round?
You didn't cite your sources. It didn't sound like you were all that confident when you said
that.
Oh,
I was there when he was doing them.
Oh, you were there? Yeah. You were in the room?
I was there.
Doctor, do you concur, doctor? I do, doctor.
All 32 of them. He had to go through 32 teams, 32 different MRI machines.
What was that like for you? Because you had a couple of knee injuries.
See, the thing is, I didn't have to go through the combine. They didn't let me in. They didn't let me in the front door, you know? But I did have to take a lot of different medical things and go to a couple of visits with teams. And, man, you're just sitting there literally getting poked and prived on and bent different ways.
You didn't go to the combine?
I didn't. They didn't let me in, man.
What the hell? I mean, are you kidding me? But nope, see, that's where Eminem says, if they don't let us in the front, we'll come through the side.
Yeah, I try to go through the side. They didn't let us in there either.
Yeah. Okay. I imagine that that's got to be a really invasive process, especially when you've had, what, four season-ending injuries Penix has?
Two knees
and a shoulder.
Yeah.
So three.
Three.
Yeah, that's... that's got to be extensive. That's got to be. But the fact that they all came back good, that's good news. Would I still take them at 12? No. I'd probably move down and probably target them in the second round.
So you don't think we take anybody at 12 right now, Matt, huh? Like, you're not. Like, it
Brock
seems
Bowers.
Like,
I think they'd take Brock Bowers.
But Brock, I don't think Brock's going to be sitting there at 12 unless something goes wrong.
Well, the Chargers came out and said that they're targeting a tackle with their draft pick. So if that's the case, you kind of, unless there's somebody that wants to move up to 8 maybe to grab him, maybe move up to 9 to grab him. I imagine the Bears are probably
Atlanta,
open for
Atlanta
business.
Might still grab someone like Brock Bowers. Kyle Pitts hasn't been that guy.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know?
No, it's
like,
true.
Like,
and
Atlanta
they need
just
weapons.
Has a quarterback.
And they need
he needs weapons. Go get someone like Brock Bowers. Have someone like Kyle Pitts there. That's a dangerous combination right there. So I don't know if Atlanta's going to just let somebody take their spot so easily.
All right, there's some breaking news in the NFL as far as more free agent signings, and we'll take a lap at everything you may have missed that went down today. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye alongside Phil Lindsay. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye. Phil Lindsay here. Zach's supposed to be back on Friday, but we'll see what Mother Nature has to say about that. Not so sure.
You didn't hear? We traded him.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. He traded him back to Albany.
I know you missed Zach, and you're already, you know, tired of me.
Tell the world.
A little, was that Diddy and Skylar Gray? I'm Zach Bye coming home to Albany. Nah, he'll be back. ZB will be back. We can't wait to get him back. Hey, let's do it. Let's do a little lap around the league real quick. A couple of things we need to pass along. The Titans. What are the Tennessee Titans doing in free agency? I don't quite understand it. They have signed former Jaguars wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Get this. 4 years, $92 million with 50 guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm not understanding why they gave him so much money. Now, when you the grand scheme of things, I mean, you have DeAndre Hopkins on one side, Calvin Ridley on the other side. You got your boy Cheeto, my best friend Cheeto. Oh, he's gone?
Yeah, he's a free agent.
I thought he had one more year.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, he signed a two-year deal.
Oh, did he sign a two-year deal
when he came on last year?
So he's still there. So you got D-Hop, you got Calvin Ridley, a young quarterback. All right, they're trying to get Snead from Kansas City. I heard they're trying to go for him hard. And Justin Simmons. What if they get all, you know, Snead and Justin Simmons? They're building something over there, Matt.
They are, and I think they signed Azeez Al-Shaair too. Linebacker from San Francisco. It's just interesting.
It is interesting, man. I don't know why you would give Calvin Ridley that much money.
That's a lot of money for Calvin Ridley.
It is a lot of money, man.
For Parlay Ridley. Hey, look, he had a decent season last year in Jacksonville, but it wasn't anything to write home about.
All it takes is one team to love you, Matt. That's what it's looking like. All it takes is someone to love you and willing to sign that check.
We
sign
had this conversation paper. Before. We had this conversation earlier in the show. Tennessee in that division, that's a winnable division, I guess. AFC South, Houston, we expect them to be better this year, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Houston was rolling last year, man. Got a young, talented quarterback. They added Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're not one to be messing with to take lightly.
Jags as well. I mean, Jags in that division, I think they'll probably bounce back a little bit. It was a down year last year.
I'm not a big Jags guy.
Not a Trevor Lawrence guy.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't really believe in Trevor Lawrence right now. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick. He has all the tangibles, but he's another one that it doesn't seem to be getting over the hump. And I know he's with the Jags, and they're starting to come along. But, you know, you like Trev?
I like who?
Trevor Lawrence.
Sunshine?
Yeah.
Sunshine. He's got all the physical tools. Yeah. He's got all the physical tools. He's just struggling to be consistent. Now, he was hurt a lot last season. I was disappointed in the year. I liked him so much that I had, at least fantasy team, nobody cares about your fantasy team, but I'm pretty sure I had Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk, maybe, and Calvin Ridley. Oh. I bet big on the Jags this year, and I lost. It was a bad, outside of our pick'em, it wasn't the best year as far as football
goes.
Well,
the Jags started off hot.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. You know, yeah, they start a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
and then
I think it was like five games.
Couple of weeks. And then they teetered off.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't make the playoffs, so I'll just say, it couldn't have been that good. Washington Commanders, one-year deal, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
Former Seattle middle linebacker. Is that a Hall of Fame guy, Wagner?
Yeah, he will be. Bobby Wagner had a great year, even last year. I think he led tackles. I don't know, Kamaja, you know that? I think Bobby Wagner may have led the league in tackles.
He played for the Rams, right? Because there was...
Yeah, no, Seattle. He went back to Seattle.
Oh, that's right. He went back to Seattle.
He did play for the Rams, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that move happened. And, of course, if you're curious what the Broncos did today, cricket sound effects. And then they re-signed Adam Trautman.
Hey, my boy Adam.
The fish is back. The fish.
He's ready.
Man. Gotta love Adam Trautman.
Put it on his back.
Playmaker. Game breaker.
And Lil Jordan. Lil Jordan's back.
Lil Jordan Humphrey. Big Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's a big. What is he, 6'4"? 220?
Names can be deceiving. He ain't so Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of Lil Jordan Humphrey, I know we joke around a little bit. Whenever his number was called this year, he stepped up.
He was consistent this year.
He did. Whenever his number was called, whenever they got the ball into his hands, he seemed to make a play.
Yeah, great on special teams. Did the dirty work, okay? Block well. He's probably their best blocking receiver because Tim Patrick was out. So, yeah, I mean, he's coming back on a friendly, vet minimum, $1.1 million. Mm. So, none of his guaranteed. So, he's a cap body. So, he's going to have to make the team. But, yeah.
So, everybody's wondering what the Chargers might do. Because the Chargers, they're in a bad way with their salary cap, too.
Well, they got rid of Mike Williams.
He's barely been able to stay on the field. But now Mike Williams. He is out of there. That's interesting. The first name that comes to mind for me is Kansas City. Kansas City cannot roll into next year with the same sorry groupers. I know they won the Super Bowl again.
They won't.
You can't do that.
Look what Patrick Mahomes just did. He restructured his deal yet again, his contract, so that they can get more money.
Patrick Mahomes had to renegotiate his contract. Did Andy Reid do Mahomes dirty? Hey. Unbelievable. I can't believe he would do that to Mahomes. Asking him to renegotiate his contract.
The difference is
wow.
we know that Mahomes is the man. Mm-hmm. The difference with what you're talking about is they're trying to get money back to still cut my man.
That's right. That's right. By the way, I saw some clips floating around of Malcolm Roach, the defensive tackle the Broncos signed to replace Mike Purcell. Hey, man, this guy can run stuff. I mean, that's another University of Texas product, Malcolm Roach, 2 years, $8 million.
All the Texas players.
All the safeties, Brandon Jones, P.J. Locke, Caden Stearns, all those dudes are Longhorns.
Lil Jordan Humphrey's a Longhorn.
Sean's got a thing for Texas, I guess. So maybe we ought to be looking at Arch Manning, 2026.
Could be, or it could be just because all Sean's exes live in Texas.
Is that what it was? Is that what
it could have been?
It's because all of his exes lived. Look, Graham Glasgow, 3 years, $20 million, $9.5 million guaranteed, and he is back to the Lions.
Yeah, man. Graham, he's not a bad dude, right? I don't think that he showed up with the Denver Broncos on the line for us. But, yeah, he still is getting a bag. He still stays getting a bag. So, obviously, it's about a great fit over there with Detroit.
And as we mentioned earlier, Titans, not we brought up the Calvin Ridley. They also signed Mason Rudolph. So they signed Mason Rudolph, Al Shaier. They signed Chido Bayouzie. They're talking about bringing in Justin Simmons. I don't think anything's been official there yet.
Yeah.
And
trading for Snead from the Kansas City. That's
they're
the
talking
one
about trading for Snead.
Man, they are. If they can get Justin Simmons and Snead, like, they're building a roster over there, man. It's a sneaky roster.
I saw someone say that Harbaugh may force the NFL to force his hand just a little, or the NFL might force Harbaugh to cut some players because Harbaugh is going to just get in a, you know, Mexican standoff with the league over the salary cap. You tell me I got to cut Joey Bosa and you tell me I got to cut Khalil Mack? No way. Well, today they released Mike Williams, but apparently the reports were they're taking offers on Bosa.
Yeah.
They're taking offers on Khalil Mack.
Well, Khalil just restructured his deal.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
did they finally just?
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
I didn't see that one come
Khalil
across.
Khalil did. So he's taking, I don't know if he's, you know, taking less money, but it's less off the cap. Just Joey B. Joey Bosa. I mean, Joey Bosa's been hurt every single year. Every single year, Joey Bosa gets hurt.
This is true. This is
so
true.
So I can see them find a way to get rid
of
Joey
Bosa. No, he can't stay healthy.
He can't.
But it's interesting. If you think about it, I mean, compared to where the Chiefs were, it was supposed to be a down year for them. Regular season-wise, it was. I mean, we saw them on Christmas Day get pasted by the Raiders without having a pass completed against them for the final three quarters of that game. It was probably the most gettable the AFC had been in a while. Well, Chargers may be retooling. Broncos appear to be in a full-on rebuild. Raiders kind of like retool-ish. I mean, they just brought in Gardner Minshew. They did just sign Christian Wilkins, though. High-priced defensive lineman.
They did. That was a good pickup.
By the way, Christian Wilkins next to Max Crosby. That's the last thing the Broncos needed is somebody to free up Max Crosby. That is scary. Hey, on the other side, all right, you ready? Time to talk about the most relevant team, football team in Colorado.
You've been ready.
That's next.
He is him. We missed him on two deep balls. He get those two deep balls, the Heisman is in his crib chilling right now. God bless.
Then give me my theme music.
Oh. You ready? We're about a week away.
Yeah.
We're about a week away. In fact, CU had to reschedule their pro day. And before you get all hot and bothered. No, there's not a ton of NFL draft picks that are going to be performing. But that pro day is now March 19th because of the snow. But spring football is supposed to start next week. Spring football.
Yeah.
We're ready, Phil. Let's do it, baby. Let's talk
some
balls.
It's here, man. Spring football. That's big, man. I think people don't understand how big spring football can be.
So, again, we brought it up yesterday, but for those of you who missed it, Phil and I have known each other for over a decade now.
Yeah.
I covered Phil when he was incoming freshman at CU, just a unbridled ball of just fire and energy. I remember that.
Flattering me, man.
I knew Phil had breakaway speed. What was the game? I remember Mac would give you a hard time because you got caught on a couple like earlier on. What do you remember the first time? Was it Oregon State? It might have been Oregon State where you finally. In 16, where you finally like hit a home run, and everybody, the whole sideline went crazy. I remember it.
Yeah,
it was so funny. And afterwards, Coach Mack just the biggest smile on his face. Phil finally did it. I told him he was gonna do it. And then, of course, you know, the rest is history for that season. But the Buffs are getting back in action, and it figures right now, as far as football teams go, they're the most relevant in the state of Colorado here coming up this season.
Yeah,
I mean, let's just be real, Phil. That's the case. Sorry, CSU fan. And speaking of CSU fan, we got to give them a shout-out before we get to the Buffs, Phil, because the CSU men's basketball program just took down San Jose State in the first round of the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Go Rams! Go Rams. I thought that was going to... No claps? Sorry. There we go. Is this the CSU fight song? Yeah,
CSU,
this is what it sounds like.
I guess.
You usually play this after you score a touchdown, and I just haven't seen a lot of games where that's happened. So,
I almost had to take off my headphones.
I know, just get that music off of here, KJ. So shout out to CSU, they move on. And tomorrow night, make sure you're dialed into our sister station, ESPN 1600. We've got their second round matchup live and direct. Buffs. In the Pac-12 tournament, they will take on the winner of tonight's game between Utah and Arizona State tomorrow as the 3 seed in the Pac-12 tournament.
They're enjoying that bye week, right?
Yeah, at least the bye day.
The bye day.
The bye day.
Say bye week, huh?
Remind me to tell you a story off the air about the last time I was in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. I probably
This is
the last Pac-12 tournament in Vegas. I'm kind of extreme FOMO here. Fear of missing out. Extreme FOMO. I love the Pac-12 tournament. I digress. By the way, Selection Sunday is this week.
It is.
On Sunday, we're going to figure out. That was a huge win for CSU. They needed an exclamation point in the Mountain West Conference tournament.
They were struggling at first, man. They found a way to...
Yeah, I mean, they were a 15-point favorite today. They ended up winning by 10, but that was a tie game with like 5 minutes left to go in the second half. So shout out to CSU, Nico Medved and crew. Big win. We're pulling for the boys there in Vegas because we want to see our teams in the tournament. And man, we talked about it at the end of the show last night, but shout out to the Pios.
Yes.
Heck of a year.
Yes.
Hopefully we see them in some sort of postseason format, be it the CBI.
I really wanted them to get that win.
It was somewhat close. I mean, they lost yesterday to South Dakota State 76-68 in the Summit League Championship Final. Would have been the first trip ever to the tournament for the Pios. Hopefully they can carry some of that momentum into next season.
Oh, they definitely will. They definitely will. That coach has done nothing but catapulted that team since he got there.
That's the closest that I can remember them getting to that stage. So, yeah, absolutely. So, shout out to CSU. They move on. Buffs back in action tomorrow. And, of course, Pios will wait to see what their postseason fate holds for them. But I want to talk about CU real quick, because spring football is about to get started. How did you feel about the first year under Coach Prime, Phil?
You know what? I was excited, right? Coach Prime in the building.
You were. It sounds like that was past tense.
No, I was just saying, I'm talking about when he first got here, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm still excited, but when, you know, look at you trying to twist my words.
Just didn't know if you were a closet hater. Just didn't know.
I was excited. Something different, something fresh, something new.
Uh-huh.
He just brought a certain confidence and swag that we never had here.
Ever.
At the University of Colorado Boulder. So I felt like they were going to win 7 games. And, of course, I'm going to be optimistic because that's my team.
Mm-hmm.
But I just truly felt that he could bring that energy to win at least 7 games. I said at least 6-7.
They should have won 6.
They should have.
I mean, they blew the biggest lead in school history to Stanford, 29 points in the second half. Embarrassing. You should have beaten USC if you didn't spot them a 21-point lead. They lost by 3.
That was a crazy one.
It was a crazy game. I actually got to call that game. I got to go back up in the booth and call that game again. Yeah, I was helping out.
Or Arizona.
Jake Shapiro.
They had a chance to beat Arizona.
They had that Arizona game, and they let the rope slip. What are your expectations heading into year two?
Right now, Matt, they have to win, to me, at least 8-9 games. I have them down as 10.
Say it.
But that's me. Right? 8-9 games is what Coach Prime has to do. He has to win this year. Where do you got him at?
At a bare minimum, from a national perspective, it's 8.
Okay.
If it's not 8, from a national perspective, he'll probably get torn down. Although, I think we can set the bar, buddy, if you miss a bowl game this year.
Oh, yes.
I mean, holy cow, if you miss a bowl game this year. I actually have a take that I think is interesting. Maybe tomorrow or Friday, one of the 2 days if Zach doesn't come back. I want to run that by you, but I'll save that because we don't have enough time right now. I'll say at least 8. I have them penciled in right now for 7 or 8.
Okay.
Let's see what it looks like coming out of spring ball.
Now, you're going to be there, right?
Of course. I've been there every step of the way, which is why heading into last year, I said 4-5 based upon the talent that I saw.
Yeah.
Buffs fans got upset. They said, sick. No, it's going to be 6-7. They're finally going to make a bowl game. They should have made a bowl game.
They should've.
So in a way, I was wrong, but in the other way, I was right because they ended up with 4 wins. Now, I'll just say from being there in person every day, the back stretch of that season was rocky, okay? They lost 8-9. Shadur kept getting hurt because they just could not protect him. But this is a massive year. If you're trying to go to an 8-win football team, that's a doubling of what you did last year. That's going to take a lot in a brand-new conference. How do you feel about moving back to the Big 12?
You know, I like it. I'm okay with it. Now, I didn't get to play in the Big 12, but growing up, I watched them play in the Big 12. The Pac-12, they're missing out on it, man. A lot of these teams that they had this year were the best, right? They had, how many of the top 25 teams were in the Pac-12? Like, majority of them.
Yeah, you had USC. Well, did they end the year? I can't remember in the top 25. But you had probably the best year of Pac-12 football in recent memory.
I think it was the best year.
It might have been overall.
Yeah. But I'm okay with Big 12. I think that we can win in the Big 12. I think we get a better chance here in the Big 12.
There's 16 teams now.
There are
16, but you're not getting a Cal. You're not getting a Stanford. You're not getting in. Well, Oregon State had a better program than they did for a little while now, but Oregon State's fallen off a little bit now without really a conference. But you're not getting those layups that you got every now and again. You know, you catch ASU in a down year. Oh, yeah. Big 12 is tougher. Phil, there right now. You know what? Save it. I'll tell you on the other side. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye with Phil Lindsay.
And there's the final buzzer. Nico Medved and 10 Miles meeting at midcourt. Of course, Nico on 10 Miles staff for 5 seasons at Colorado State. Final score, Rams get the first round win over San Jose State, 72-62. It wasn't easy, but a job well done at CSU. Now moving on to the Mountain West Conference quarterfinals.
Shout out to CSU. Weird to play CSU highlight over, you know, the Coach Prime theme song, but I guess we had to do it. Sunday is Selection Sunday, by the way.
The disrespect, man. The disrespect.
Was it a little disrespectful? All right, well, we'll make it up on the other side. By the way, Selection Sunday. If you want to compete in a bracket challenge, have a chance to win $5,000, I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Bracket challenges are not easy.
I'm going to sign up right now.
If you want to try and compete, Phil, you're going to be able to dummy Phil because Phil's going to forget to fill his bracket out. I can promise you. I can promise you that much. DenverSports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sports Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Entry closes before the first game on March 21st. So that is the Thursday of the official first round. So the next Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll be in it.
Let's go.
You told Zach that you're going to have a perfect bracket this year, didn't you?
I did. He's upset because I think I'm going to have a perfect bracket.
A little house cleaning. Somebody on the text line says Al Shahir left the Titans and went to the Texans. We were talking about a little NFL free agency.
Yeah.
As the Titans just paid Calvin Ridley a bunch of money.
$92 million, 15, 50 guaranteed.
I think I mentioned that Azeez Al-Shahir was headed to Tennessee. Well, yeah. He's headed from Tennessee to Houston. So thank you to the texter for correcting that. But before the break, you asked me if I thought that the Big 12 was going to be tougher than the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the Buffs here. Well, yeah. I was reading the other day of The Athletic, Stuart Mandel, who's one of the more respected national college football writers, and he had 5 teams, Big 12 teams in the top 25, and okay. 2 is honorable mentions that were not the Buffs. So if we're talking about 8 wins this year, mm-hmm. you know, as a baseline, as the floor, an acceptable floor, hey man, it's gonna be a challenge. I mean, you do have some good talent here. Like I said, you'll get a layup every year in the Pac-12 schedule, don't you think so, Phil? Like, yeah, once a year you catch ASU in a down year, you catch a bad Cal team.
Well, we got a layup here in the Big 12 now, because the Big 12 is not the Big 12. It's not the Oklahomas and Texas.
CU was the Pac-12 layup for years. Okay, let's be honest.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, like, let's be real. Oregon put up, what, like 72 on us?
Oh, God.
The year before
that?
I got there.
I remember.
I was on a recruiting visit.
It was 72-10, I
think. Yeah, yeah.
And you know how much Oregon was favored by? They were favored by 7. That was like the lock
for
of the
real?
Century. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wasn't that Mariota? I think that was
Mariota, Kenyon Barnard.
Yeah. All right, so you asked me if I thought the Big 12 is better than the Pac-12. Not maybe at the very top anymore, since Oklahoma and Texas are off to the SEC. But throughout the Big 12, probably, Phil. I think so. But Colorado's got a good chance, as good a chance as most of these teams. But understand that nationally, the perception is, at least right now, they're probably not even going to be a top half of the Big 12 team.
Which, I mean, that's fine. That's just on paper. You still got to go out there and play. I don't think that someone like Baylor, all right, is going to give us as much problems as people think. People are thinking, Drew over here thinks UCF could be one of those sneaky ones that could get Colorado.
That's going to be a tough game.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, you're flying across the country.
But a lot of those kids are from Florida.
I know. I mean, maybe, but even, I think maybe a lot more pressure in that game as a result.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say, here's the difference between this year's CU team and last year's CU team. You have a legitimate shot to win every game on your schedule this year. Legitimate shot.
Okay.
You got to get out of the blocks hot, though. Like, let's not kid ourselves. They got to start 3-0 to this season. And
Do you think that they're going to start 3-0?
Well, North Dakota State is a perennial, you know, FCS powerhouse.
Tough team.
Coach Prime has been saying nothing but they're preparing only for North Dakota State right now. He's got the guys laser focused on that to begin spring ball, and I imagine that will be the focus throughout the offseason. We saw what they did at TCU. Hmm. I mean, they had all offseason to game plan for that, and they came out with the best game plan of the year for that TCU game. Now, TCU didn't know what it was going to look like whatsoever from CU. And you go back, you watch the way that TCU defended the Buffs in that game. I mean, they were playing 10 yards off, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, this team, all they do is, you know, throw five-yard passes here because they can't protect their quarterback. Other teams figured that out later in the year, and it did not go well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have them beat North Dakota State, Nebraska. I do have them upset Nebraska because it's in Nebraska, right?
By the way, did you see what happened in Nebraska today?
Mm-mm.
They lost their AD.
Did they?
Trev Alberts, who was an alumni, is now going to Texas A&M to be their AD.
And Texas A&M is not on our schedule.
Let's just do a little accounting here.
Okay.
Matt Rhule has lost the AD that hired him, and they've lost the president.
Matt,
may not be a lot of runway there for Matt Rhule in Nebraska.
There's not.
Although they did just land their, I think it's the highest rated quarterback prospect they've ever had with Dylan Raiola. You love that you catch Nebraska early because he's going to be a freshman who's going to see, he's a five-star. Mm. I imagine he starts. But if we kind of think back to the Nebraska game last year, Jeff Sims, their quarterback, couldn't snap the football. He had, what, three fumbled snaps in the first half?
Yeah.
And the Buffs still didn't even blow him out until the second half? That's going to be a tough game, but I'll probably ride with CU. Well, I'm not probably. I will ride with CU.
Okay, I was going to have to throw you out right there, man.
Don't even worry about it. I'll ride with CU.
I have them beating up on Colorado State. Colorado State's going to get a butt whooping.
A butt whooping.
They are.
They're going to. Oh, it's going to be a. They're going to get the paddle out, get the belt. It's happening. I'm sorry, Jay Norvell. I'm sorry, Rams fans in your car screaming, you guys are bombs. We almost beat you last year. It's true. That is true.
Yeah. I had to stay up. What was it, like 1:30 watching that game, hoping that we could pull off a miracle?
I got home at like 3 a.m. that night, so that sounds about right. That was a really late one. Although, one of the most probably the most fun day I've ever had around the program. Starting that day, I got to be on the set of College Game Day, so did Richie, and you know, there weren't a lot of us there. Got to see The Rock and Lee and Kirk and Desmond and Reese and all that fun stuff. And then we saw Lil Wayne, which is just, it's a show. I mean, it's a show, man.
It really is.
It's a show. It's nuts to see what's happened. But you were voicing some concerns to me yesterday.
Okay.
Do you remember what it was about?
We talked so much, man.
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest one.
Talk to me about Pat Shurmur.
Look, Pat Shurmur, to me, all right, in the NFL world, as a head coach, got fired by the Giants, mm-hmm. became the OC of the Denver Broncos. He didn't do nothing for us, right? There wasn't nothing there. There was no creativity. Mm. All right, there was no, we're going to go into the locker room, we're going to change things up, right? We're going to find ways to get everybody open. That was not Pat Shurmur's plan. Pat Shurmur's plan was, this is my scheme, and everybody fits it. Everybody fits it because I'm the guru of it, and I'm going to do what's best for the scheme, not the player. And I think that can hurt you. That can hurt you when you don't. Matt, I was running up the middle the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, how's that helping me out? How's that helping my team out? When I have speed, when I'm trying to get to the outside, there was none of that creativity.
So do you think Pat was part of the reason why it ended up not working out for you here?
I think that Pat,
or at least long term.
I think that Pat didn't believe in me. He looked at Melvin as the guy that he wanted and that fit his scheme. Mm. Which, I mean, at the end of the day, it's you're the coach, you're the offensive coordinator, it's your job on the line, so you're gonna pick who you believe is a better fit for your scheme.
And so you think it was Pat's call?
I think that Pat has something to do with it. Okay. I think
So then what was your reaction when you found out that he was going to get hired full time after getting the interim position?
For the Buffs?
Yeah.
I was questioning it. Like, out of everybody, for college football, Pat Shurmur is not a motivator. And you know, in college, you have to be a little bit of a motivator with kids, right? 18, 19, 20-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Shurmur was more laid back and, you know, he kind of talks monotone and you kind of move on with somebody that needs to be kind of in people's butt a little bit more in college.
Get in your kitchen?
Yeah, a little bit more. Like that's why I liked Severini at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Severini at the time, like he related more to players. Now, was he the greatest coach? No. But we're talking about Pat Shurmur.
So why do you think Deion made the hire then?
I think that Deion made the hire with Pat Shurmur because Pat Shurmur got in Deion's ear, okay, saying something about how, you know, whatever the case may be, about how he could turn this around.
Sweet nothings. What was he whispering in his ear?
He was whispering something now. What was he whispering in his ear, Matt?
I think he was whispering in his ear, I could make your son the number one overall draft pick in 2025.
But would his son be that no matter what? We're talking about how he would have been high draft pick this year.
Good question. I think it's a great question. I think he's going to be most prepared for the next level. And here's part of the reason why. Look, as I've been on record many times, yeah. I'm not going to sell you he was the best choice. On a personal level, I actually get along really well with the guy. But on a football level, I was extremely critical of him running the fake jet sweeps with Jerry Jeudy to nowhere here in Denver time after time after time. You're right. There was a real lack of creativity, a real inability to adjust.
And isn't that college football? You could be the most creative in college football.
You would think. However, I'll say there were some signs last year that he showed me at the end of the year that he could adjust. There were small things, but he was running somebody else's scheme. And I thought the way that he put it, he almost beat Arizona, right? That Washington State game, Shador got sacked four times the first 10 snaps and, you know, was dealing with the shoulder and then had the broken back. And then against Utah, I mean, when was the last time Seahawks played well at Utah?
Yeah, Utah is a hard place to play. Them and Washington State, for some reason, you're not going to win.
It's been a while. He brought Ryan Staub, who the week before, the backup, who hadn't taken any snaps all year.
Yeah.
And he actually almost beat him. Probably should have beaten him if Travis Hunter's touchdown doesn't get called off the board. There were some signs that I think he could do some solid things. Here's what I'll say. If you got Deion in a private moment, NFL head coach, you can use that in recruiting. You can also use it because you want to run more of a pro-style system because last year the bus could not run the football. And if they want to get to 8 wins, buddy, you better be able to run the football, and you better make an effort to do so. They didn't even try last year in that RPO system, and Shador's not great with the RPO system as it is. He's more of a pro-style guy. You know, even Shador at Super Bowl Media Week talked about how the fact that they ran so many choice routes in their offense that it was tough for him with chemistry.
Well, he better get ready for that because in the NFL, that's what you run is choice routes.
For sure, but I think when you have a bunch of college guys making those decisions in your offense, that's kind of hard to trust if there's no relationship. So maybe that's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that it's not a problem, but I think that when you look at him, he's an anticipatory throw. He would be the perfect Sean Payton. Like, what was Sean Payton's checklist? It was mentally tough. Understands the mental side of football.
Yeah.
Check. I'm telling you. Mental side of football, he has the best coaching that you could possibly get as a quarterback. He just, maybe not Shurmur.
So you're pitching this because you're saying that the Broncos are going to tank for this. So let's hear it.
No, that wasn't why I was pitching it.
Oh, no, but
that wasn't
it
why
sounds
I was
like it.
No, it wasn't why I was pitching it. I just happened to come up in conversation.
Okay.
Mentally tough, mobile guy, not necessarily a mobile quarterback, but a quarterback that's mobile enough to use his legs. Great processor. He's a good processor. Now he's got to do a better job of speeding everything up this year.
Yeah, he has to get the balls out of his hand.
He's never going to be number one overall if he doesn't speed it up. Now, I'm not delusional, okay? I understand. He's got room to grow, but I do believe he's a good processor. He can read defenses
really well. Very smart.
Yeah, really smart. And then the last one was mental, mobile, processor.
Stays in the pocket.
Yeah, and pocket passer. Yeah. I mean, he's got good. If not for a siege on him by his own offensive line, I really believe that, look, he's going to have a monster year. He was the most sacked quarterback in the country last year.
Yep.
Okay? He was running for his life. And he still had almost a 70% completion percentage, threw for 3,200 yards, a school record, okay? 27 touchdowns and only 3 picks.
Yeah.
So if you give him protection, and they've already upgraded the talent that they have as far as the skill positions go, if you add a running game, you could see Michael Penix's numbers this year from Shador.
Okay. I like that. So you're telling me that Shurmur is
going to
be the one that's going to bring this out of Shador.
I hope so.
Okay.
I'm not sold on it. Like I told you, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Pat Shurmur's the second coming or that he was even the best choice for the job. But I think he's the safest. I don't think things are going to burn down with him.
Okay.
And I think at a certain point, it got really off the rails last year. And, you know, if it was Shador, pick a last name, Johnson, okay, Shador Smith, Shador Lindsay, okay, not a Shador Sanders, it would be spoken about differently. And I've heard the narrative that you want to bring in the reason Prime hired Pat was to get Shador to the NFL, and I think that's part of it.
Well, yeah, you know that's part of it.
I believe that's a very big part.
He's a father. He's still a father.
I believe that's a very big part of it. But you tell me what other coach around the country, Caleb Williams. I mean, they brought in Cliff Kingsbury, okay? You want to support your elite quarterback with an offensive coordinator who he has a good relationship with, and that's essentially why it didn't work out with Sean Lewis. That's where it broke down, was their relationship.
Yeah.
Shador didn't see eye to eye with him. And guess who's going to win that battle?
Yeah,
guess
for who's sure. Win Shador and Coach Prime is the head man, and he's going to want best for his son and what's best for the team. I'm just, to me, at this point, it's like Pat Shurmur is what's best for this football team.
It's a tough sell.
That's what we're talking about right
now,
huh?
Tough sell. I'm looking forward to talking to him about it in a week.
Yeah.
The last time I saw him, I think the second to last question I asked him about was about Pat.
Okay.
I asked him to evaluate how he thought Pat did this year, and then I said, do you believe that offensive coordinator will be among your coaching changes? And by asking him that, he told me I was trying to shoot Pat Shurmur. He said, that's some bull junk. What a bull junk question that is. You're trying to shoot Pat Shurmur. No.
Just ask a question.
No, I just asked you a question. Yeah, that's what he said.
Bull junk.
Boy, he's going to hate to see me.